What is up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This episode is with Matt and Molly, a young engaged couple in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, and they own Letty's Tavern. And what a fun conversation this was. And just, man, I love this story because they're engaged, they're getting married this fall. They work all the time, and they've built a great staff who is going to be there running the show while they're gone on their honeymoon, and which is a big thing. And more importantly, they walk to work, you know, live not far from the restaurant, small town, small growing town in Pennsylvania, and a lot of diversity there, but a lot of community and community loyalty. And it's just one of those things where you hear this and you're like, this just sounds like what a great story and what a great life. You know, they're in this great town. People that live there love the town. You know, they've fulfilled the American dream of starting their own business and running their own restaurant and doing it together as a couple. And I just really enjoy talking to them. And I'm happy to have the chance, for us to have the chance at Schedule Fly to share their story and to follow along as, you know, their restaurant grows and maybe their own family grows. But enjoy this episode with Matt and Molly. But before you do, enjoy a quick word from our sponsor and our Schedule Fly partner, Pop Menu. Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. And there's just so much more in there. So there's a link to them in the show notes. Check them out. Pop Menu is a great company. We have a lot of mutual customers, and I've spoken to many of them, and they say very consistently, they say great customer service, great product, and great results. So check out Pop Menu and check out this fun episode with Matt and Molly, Letty's Tavern, Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. More episodes coming soon. Thank y'all for listening. See ya.
What's up, y'all?
How are ya?
How's it going?
Oh, man, I'm great. I appreciate y'all doing this. Y'all just take a second and introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Matt. It's Molly.
Yes. From Letty's Tavern.
Yeah.
Letty's Tavern. All right. And you two are, y'all are engaged, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Married.
Mm-hmm. Married in October.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I like the background there. What a cool place. I'm looking forward to hearing all about Letty's. It sounds like you guys have been open since 21, and yeah. You know, I read some stuff online, so I want to find out the whole story. But I guess start out, if you don't mind, and maybe Molly, we'll just start with you. I know you actually had said you use Schedule Fly at another place. So you've been in hospitality a little while. How did you start your hospitality journey?
Oh my gosh. I probably started when I was like 15 in a little diner, just being the register girl. And then it just kind of moved on. I worked at a bar in Delaware County for a long time, probably up until COVID. And then that place had closed down. I worked at a nice place in Glen Mills. It's called Terrain. It's owned by like Urban Outfitters and all that. So that's where I used Schedule Fly to begin with. And then, worked at a couple of random places in between after COVID. And then they opened up this place and here I am. So.
All right, good. And then Matt, how about you?
I started washing dishes when I was in high school at a nursing home. And then.
Wow.
Kind of took me through that. Worked in a lot of like cheesesteak and like delis, hoagie shops, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Moved out to LA for a while. I worked for Vito's Pizza. It's like it's the best pizza place in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of where I learned how to the whole pizza game and everything. And then also worked at Barney's Beanery. So that's like a local chain in LA County. I think they got like 10 locations. Okay. It's like kind of like a hipster sports bar. Gotcha. For lack of a better term.
Gotcha. All right. So, okay. So in 2021, you and two other partners, who I think, if I understand, are no longer part of the business, but y'all opened Letty's Tavern. So how did y'all come together? And and
we all met at the pizza place in West Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Were y'all all from Pennsylvania?
I'm originally from like just south of Philadelphia, like Delaware County. The one partner was from Indiana originally, and the other one was from Long Island.
Okay.
They were the managers. I got hired as like a delivery driver and dishwasher.
Okay.
But I stuck it out there for a long time.
What prompted y'all to open Letty's?
So me and the one partner, we took over a pizza place in Westchester. It's like a smaller state school in Westchester, PA. So we were running a pizza place from 2019. Yeah. We sold it a few months ago. So
okay.
We were running both businesses simultaneously, but the pizza place was like a late night spot. It was like right in the center of town. So, you know, it was basically nocturnal for a few years.
Yeah. Kind of like growing up, like instead of doing a little pizza place, they decided to.
That's where we like all like really cut our teeth as like owner operators, you know?
Okay. All right. And then how did y'all decide to start Letty's?
So just met a commercial realtor through the pizza place, and he was always showing us like really cool buildings that like where it, stuff that wasn't even on the market, where the owner was entertaining someone coming in and taking it over and giving like a facelift. Yeah. So it was between this place and another really cool spot in Thorndale, PA, right by like the original Victory Brewery.
Yeah,
the Craft House now. So we were looking at that place, and here the Craft House was actually James Buchanan's
vacation home.
So he was the president right before Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
It's like a giant mansion. So we were looking at that, and that was like a little too much to take on. But then this Letty's was formerly the Kennett Square Inn, and it was just much more manageable. Like, it's older, but we love the old buildings and everything like that, but smaller bar, smaller dining room, wasn't as much of like a mountain to climb.
Yeah,
taking over a bar.
And y'all named this place after the ghost of William Penn's daughter, who might be hanging around the building still.
Yeah.
So former owners, maybe I don't know who named the ghost, Letitia Penn, but she, like, this part of Pennsylvania, like Southern Pennsylvania, William Penn gifted her the entire, all of Chester County. So like, this was her land. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think she ended up moving back to England. Didn't really even care about living in PA, but, one of the former owners, it's like on the Wikipedia, they named whatever ghost is in here after William Penn's daughter, I guess, because this was like the whole land that she owned. But as far as I know, she was never here, and you can't even really find images of her online. So
yeah,
in Philadelphia, there's a Letitia Penn doll club. So we made like collages in the back. So we have like the logo from that, but all I could find of the lady was like a tombstone in England and
the doll club.
The doll club. Yeah. Creepy dolls from the 1800s. I don't know.
I like the story, man. What a cool area to be with so much history and so many historic buildings. So it sounds like a really cool place for y'all to spend your days. Now, it's funny you mentioned the late night pizza place, because I was reading like one of the things it said here in this article I read was talking about the lifestyle of start the day earlier and sleep when the work is done. I read about 4 a.m. hospitality. Is that what y'all call your hospitality group?
We haven't really been running with that. We've just kind of been like full force into this, but at the start, yeah, we never even like incorporated it, but that was all like me and my former partners. We were in Vegas at like 3 a.m. talking about going to get a tattoo. And I like read articles about it. Like 4 a.m. is the most It's like the most used time in songs, like in pop culture. That's like the most referred to late night time. And then there's like articles about like if you're awake and like, you know, fully functioning between the hour of 4 a.m. and 5 a.m., that's when everybody else is asleep. So it's where you could, the hour in which you could be most productive.
Hour when you can be, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can get a lot done if you can get, up then. Well, yeah, right. So tell me, I mean, how's it been going at Letty's? Y'all been open a couple of years. You opened during an interesting time through, you know, through COVID, and here you are a couple of years later. So business going well?
Yeah. We're really like retaining a lot of regulars.
Yeah. It's nice to see like, you come in and it's just like a full bar and you know everybody's name. Everybody's, hi, how are you? How was this? How was that? Everybody knows what's going on. How's the wedding planning going? Like, it's very sweet to see people constantly coming back. They want to come back. They feel comfortable here. And it's still like a fun vibe. You can get great food. It's all scratch bar, scratch kitchen. So they know that they're getting good drinks. They know that they're getting good food, but then they feel comfortable and it's an experience, you know, like it feels welcoming and it's cool. It's been really good. And especially we just celebrated the 2-year anniversary here earlier in April. And we had a public party where, you know, we just kind of celebrated it with whoever wanted to come in. And it was really cool to actually see how many people, even people we didn't know as regulars, were like, we had to come out. We love this place. So like even people we don't see all the time or know, it's nice to know that they want to come back and they always will, you know? So, I mean,
even like, and the bar is like a main draw too. Cause a lot of our bartenders, they're always coming up with really cool stuff and they're like well-traveled. So like working at like high-end places in Philly, or Steve, our bartender, like has been all over bartending in Florida, New York, like Brooklyn, everywhere. So like all this information that's just like kind of getting focused back into Kennett Square, which is kind of like a town that's always had major industry. It's like the mushroom capital of the world, but mm-hmm. Now it has like a lot of like young urban professionals moving in. So like, it's kind of like it's one of those towns where it's walkable. There's like, we're on Restaurant Row, but it doesn't have all the downsides of a city, but all the upsides.
Yeah.
Is the closest major city Philadelphia?
Yeah. But we're also not too far from the border of Maryland down here. So Baltimore is reasonable as well. So Wilmington. Either direction's like,
yeah,
hour, 30 minutes, probably to Baltimore or Philly.
Yeah.
But Wilmington, Delaware is like right down there.
Okay. Well, one of the upsides of, if I could put it that way, from, you know, one of the positive things, I guess I'd say, that maybe came out of COVID in some ways is that people have a little bit more flexibility of where they can live now. You know, they don't have to necessarily be right where they're working if they're in jobs like, you know, what I do. So you can be anywhere. So a town like Kennett Square seems like it would be really attractive. I would imagine there's been an influx of people moving there over the last.
Because everything else before that was all like the mushroom farms. So
yeah,
the waves of like even immigrants. So it's like way back in the day, it was all people from Italy. So there's a huge Italian population. And now more recently, there's a lot of people from like Mexico and like Guatemala and all these places. So like you have all these like cultures kind of melding together. But then it's also like this is a Quaker town. So there's also like more bohemian Quaker people. Mm-hmm. The demographic is like very diverse for how small of a town it is.
That's really, yeah, I wouldn't have, I mean, I would not expect that. Like if you said, you know, what would you think Kennett Square, Pennsylvania would be like? I wouldn't expect that. That's really cool. What do you,
yeah, there's like pandarias everywhere. There's there's panda. I don't know if I pronounce it right, but like Mexican bakeries, there's a bunch of them. Like, so it almost feels like stuff I would see in Southern California. And it's like, we're in Southeast PA.
Yeah.
What are the mushroom farm? You said it's the mushroom capital?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
They move crazy amounts of mushrooms
insane. Yeah.
There's mushrooms all around the area. It started with the Quakers. I don't know why they decided to start growing mushrooms here, but it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you always have a fresh supply for your toppings for your pizzas, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Well, okay, so now it's just the two of you, right? The other guys are not involved anymore. Did y'all buy them out, or what happened?
Yeah, it was just a lot with life too, because we had a lot of people all trying to be supported by a business that's just starting out. It was pretty difficult, and one of the partners had a bunch of kids, and so like, you know, you got to take care of them. So,
yeah, gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. How did you fund getting this place started? Did you just y'all funded it yourselves, or did you borrow money from the bank, or?
We borrowed money from a private lender, but threw some money into that. Like, it was all like a main investor, and then like whatever we had threw towards it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Well, it sounds like y'all are having a lot of fun doing what you do.
We do have fun. It's exhausting. It's long days and a long week, but it is fun at the end of the day. We have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, being able to build on like something so old, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you got a lot on your plates. Like, okay, so you're running this fairly new restaurant. Restaurants take a lot of time and energy. You got a wedding coming up in October. Mm-hmm. Y'all getting enough balance to figure out how to get that planned, and are you going to get some time away after you?
We are. It was very important to plan a honeymoon. I said, that's what we're doing. We're taking a week and it's going to happen, but we've been really lucky. Wedding planning wise, our parents have been very helpful with like getting things done for us. Like we just kind of pick things. My mom's more on top of us, like make sure you do this by this day. And then I have to, but I mean, when it comes to here, we have a great staff. Everybody's very supportive. Everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to be a part of it. They all want this place to succeed just like we do. So, you know, they definitely put in a lot of work to help us out too when needed. I mean, obviously there's some things that they can't do when it comes to running a business that it's our responsibility, but the things that they can do, they're always more than willing to help. And, you know, they want to see us go on a honeymoon too. So they know that they can hold it down. Like, we can trust, you know, going away we never get away. So we can definitely trust them for that week to, you know, allow us to have that time. But
good. Well, that's important. So y'all have worked in hospitality, both of you have for a while. Tell me about the most challenging part about owning your own place.
I would say, just he likes to remind me the delegation. I think it's hard to, you know, like you want to be approachable for your employees. You want, you know, everything to look nice. You want it to feel nice. You want everybody, like including the customers, to feel comfortable here. So sometimes it's a little, I think I have more of a problem telling people when it's like, all right, like remember, get back on top of this, or like, you know, kind of just like the respect thing, like you respect everybody, but you want that respect back and you don't want to be mean. So I think that's where like I have the hardest time in hospitality, but I mean, everything else, it just, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So it gets done, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. And I mean, like, well, the challenge is also like the most fun part as well, where it's like, you're taking, like, it's a small place, but it's all these extremely different people with different personalities, and then figuring out like how from a busser to like one of the main head chefs in the kitchen, like their personalities are so different, and like how to talk to each and every person, you know, mm-hmm. we're like, it's difficult, but like that's the fun part, I think. Mm-hmm. And also just like, that's what I've always liked just about this industry. Also the feng shui, like getting into an old building and going in the kitchen and figuring out how to optimize the workspace, or like the flow of products in and out,
constantly,
you know,
making things better and more like easier, more convenient for you. Like it's
this, like the challenge of this is like, oh no, the plumbing, because this is a building from the 1800s. But also if we were in a shopping mall or like a strip mall, I'd probably be bored, you know?
You like the chat. Yeah, I got you. I'm feeling that, man. I love that. Do you have mentors or people do you listen to podcasts, or like, do you guys just kind of trial and error and figure it out as you go?
kind of trial and error. I feel like we just, you know, I think it's, you know, you learn something every day. Like when it comes to ordering liquor, ordering food, like it's always a trial run. Like we'll order something and we're like, ah, this isn't really moving. And then, you know, it's kind of like, we've had people give us advice and have had mentors and things like that. But at the end of the day, you just have to do it and see how it goes. Cause it's not, you know, you never know what's going to move and what's not and what's going to work and what doesn't, especially in a building like this. It doesn't.
I know her manager at Duffer's Pub that closed during the pandemic. He's been really helpful with her. And then just for me, like Vito DiDonato from Vito's Pizza, like, just seeing how he ran that in like such a crazy part, like in a crazy city right off Santa Monica Boulevard, you know, it was like pretty impressive for like this East Coast guy to be like a mainstay. Like you walk into his spot and it's like you're back on the East Coast right when you walk in, and like just building that whole energy and everything. Learned a lot.
Out there in LA. Yeah. How did you get connected with that organization? Did you just move out there and then find work, or did you move out?
I was struggling to find work, and a kid I grew up with out here was out. He still lives out there, but he was working there, and I kept being like, get me in there. I mean, I before that I was like up in the valley. I was up in like Burbank making milkshakes in like at Foster's Freeze, dying in a shack that was built in the 50s, not realizing like, oh, the valley's 10 degrees hotter than the other side of the mountain. But then once I got in there, I worked there until I left. It was like 2.5 years.
Dude, I got to tell you, I live in North Carolina. I've been here my whole life except for 2 years. I lived in Burbank, California.
Right.
Yep.
At Foster's Freeze on Olive, I think. I think it was on Olive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how many places have been there for so long. What was that place? Patty's, I think, was like right maybe over in Toluca Lake. I lived on the corner of Hollywood Way and Verdugo. My wife and I did for 2 years back. I mean, this is a long time ago, man. I'm old. Like, this is back in like 99, 2000. But yeah, that's interesting. Well, I didn't know Vito's for some reason, but LA is so freaking big. Like, I mean, but I don't remember Vito. Maybe I don't know.
He popped up. I think it was probably like maybe it was in the 90s, but he was on Vermont, like back up right by LACC.
Okay.
And then him and his brother moved out from like Elizabeth, New Jersey, but that was like way back. And then they moved that location. Then they moved to like Santa Monica and La Cienega. So like,
I know where that is.
Like right in the middle of it all. So like West Hollywood, but
yeah,
that's where they're at now. And then they've opened multiple locations. I know there's one in Santa Monica now too. Okay. You should look it up. He's a character, and like, they're doing a good job.
I'll check it out. I mean, they may be a customer. I need to find, actually, I'm glad you said that. I need to look and see. And then do you have a bottle shop in that building too? Is that where I read?
We did. So, from the outside of our building, there's a door from the sidewalk. So you have to come up steps to get up into this building. So if you were to go downstairs, we had a bottle shop, and it was kind of just like you could buy to-go wine. We had a really good variety of things that like you can't get at a liquor store. But the nice thing was like there's not a liquor store in town. So people will be walking around looking for wine for your BYO places and things like that. So people would come in. But we also could do any of our cocktails would get rang in, and the tickets would come up here, and food and all the things that could all be downstairs, which was nice because we have Longwood Gardens. It's this big botanical garden place down the street. And during Christmas time, it is insane. Like, it is a huge destination spot. People are coming from anywhere, and we're one of the first places when you come into town. So, we'd get a lot of overflow, and we'd be like, but we have our bottle shop downstairs. If you want to wait down there, have some cocktails until your table's ready, which was really neat. October, we decided to sublease to a brewing company. It's a Tired Hands Brewing Company. Oh, cool. So they're out of Ardmore, and they they have a lot of really cool stuff, and we work really well together with them down there. So it's kind of just a beer cafe. They have like two taps and a fridge full of their beers. We have two of their beers on tap up here as well. So it's a really good balance, and it's still the same thing. Like if people are waiting, I'm like, you know, we have tired hands downstairs. Like feel free to hang down there, grab a beer, and we'll let you know when a table's ready. So it's pretty cool down there. They did a really nice job.
They're I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they were like for beer enthusiasts, like people would line up around the block from their at their original place to like get these limited release beers. So they're like very like highly regarded in the like the beer realm.
Tired Hands Brewing.
Tired Hands, yeah.
Tired Hands. Okay. And you mentioned did you say Victory Brewing is nearby?
Yeah, there's like so many breweries in town. So right down from us, there's a KBC Kennett Brewing Company. That's like right down. We have Tired Hands in our bottle, which used to be our bottle shop. There's the Kennett Square Victory location right down the street. There's Braylock. There's a lot of breweries in town. Mm-hmm. Southeast PA is like a lot of the big ones. Like I know when that all started. I think it was like, you might know better than me, like the early 2000s, like when that whole craft brewing kind of took off. But it seems like this area was always like an epicenter for it, because Victory's original one isn't that far from us either in Downingtown.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know Victory. They're a customer of ours, so I know about them. Tell your friends at Tired Hands, I don't know how they do their schedule, but they're not doing it on Schedule Fly. I just looked it up.
No,
they'd be better off. No, I'm just kidding. Hey guys, what else is going on? What do y'all do for fun, or do you have time to do a lot outside of work, or other than wedding planning and running a business?
We just try to hang out on our. We have 2 days off, and I mean, there's always things to be done, so we're always here anyway. We live literally a four-minute walk from here, so. Oh. We're always here, but we always try to like go get dinner or something on one of the days off, just so we can like spend some time, you know, not in town, even though we go to a restaurant 5 minutes away, but it's not in town, but it is nice. We like to, you know, try different cocktails. We like to try different food. So
it always feels like it's going back into work when you're like, you know, but we like doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Got a dog.
Yeah, we have a dog. She keeps us busy too. So, ooh,
what kind of dog do you have?
She's like a pit bull mix, and she thinks she's a child, and it's insane. She thinks she's a lap dog, and she's huge. So, that's always.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
Nah, that's a good thing. Get you ready for having kids at some point. so. Well, y'all, you clearly love what you do, and you're fun to talk to. I mean, I wish you were. How far are y'all from State College?
It's about four or five hours. All of her family went there.
Yeah, my family's a Penn State family.
Okay. I joke and say it's a cult. My uncle's like that too.
Yeah, I feel like I think I would agree, y'all. My oldest child, my daughter, she'll be a sophomore. I had no connection to Penn State. We have nobody in our family's ever been. She just decided that's where she wanted to go. She loves it there. But yes, I mean, it is really, you know, you like wear a Penn State hat and you hear somebody's like, sees
we
you.
Are.
We yes. are.
My uncle, he is alumni from there. And so he has a separate Christmas tree in their basement that only has Penn State ornaments around Christmas time. We're like, His wife wouldn't let him put them on the regular tree, so he got another tree for the basement. They have a whole room dedicated to it.
My parents have a whole room dedicated to Penn State.
It is something. Yeah, there's something there. I mean, it's got a great alumni network. I think it's like the largest alumni network of any college, I think. Something like
it's a great town, too.
It's a cool town. What's that?
The Creamery. They make the I forget what major. Yeah, it's like it's all ran by the school.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to the Creamery, my friend. In fact, that's been my rule so far is I don't make a trip up there and come back without going to the Creamery at least once.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a neat place. It's a cool town.
it's a beautiful area. I always think, like, I'm like, oh, Pennsylvania, you know, they must be close to state, but you have a freaking massive state. But maybe one day I'll get a chance to just kind of take some time and drive through the state. I'd love to come hang out with y'all. You seem like cool folks with a cool place, great town. I'll try to make that happen at some point.
Oh, we would love that.
I do love your state. You have a beautiful state. I had never really spent any time in Pennsylvania, but it's just a beautiful place and great people.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you have a few cities, but everything in between is like pretty rural, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a wonderful place. I'm not a huge fan of being there like December through February or whatever, but other than that, it's
good... spoiled this last season, so.
Did you not? Was it not bad this past season?
Mm-mm. No snow, but it was up until like literally yesterday where it's finally like 60-ish degrees. So it's been cold. Like, it, you know, we got Pennsylvania is really funny about the seasons where it's like a fake spring for a week and then it goes back to freezing cold and then it rains and then there's no sun. And now I think we're done. I think we're like actually in spring now, right before summer starts in like a month.
Where you guys are at too, though, it's like you still have the seasons. It just seems like they're not as intense as a little further north. But living out, you know how it is, like Burbank or like Southern California, it's like no seasons. Like time flies, and you're like, well, you get the Santa Ana winds, and that's it. Like.
Well, hey guys, I'm gonna let you roll. I know you're busy. I appreciate you. You are great folks and good to talk to, and we appreciate your business. But more importantly, just thank you for taking the time to do this. And you've got a cool thing going, so keep after it. And congrats on the upcoming wedding. That'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. That was awesome.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Y'all take care.
You too. Have a good one.
All right, see you.
Take it easy.